My name is Byung, and welcome to Saturday EMP. Today I'm going to be reading from John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. And it's a very well-known passage. It is the passage of the Lord's first miracle. So John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. I'm actually going to read from the ESV version because I think it actually reads better. But you could follow along on the in the Bibles that we have in the NASB. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this do? What does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." So his mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called for the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for this beautiful morning, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that your mercies have been renewed for us, God. And Father, Lord, I just thank you for calling out your disciples out to your house to pray today, God. Father, Lord, I just humble myself before you and before them, Lord. I just pray, God, that you use me to convey your heart today, God. Father, Lord, I just pray that you protect my mind from distractions and my tongue from error and my heart from pride, Lord, as I just try to encourage them from what you have shared with me, God. Father, Lord, may there be no gap between your intended will today and my words. In precious name I pray, amen. So, happy early Mother's Day. Today I want to talk about mothers in our lives. And, you know, I just want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, first of all. Happy Mother's Day. And to all the other moms here at Solomon's Porch, whether you are a new mom or whether you're a seasoned mom, soon-to-be mom, or a one-day wish-to-be mother, I wish you a very happy Mother's Day. About a year, I'll start with this. About a year ago, I went on my first blind date. Okay, and the person who was setting me up has decided to give me so many rules and advise me on things that I should and should not do, right? And there was just like so many rules. And the reason why she did that was because she was like, it's important for you to make a very good first impression. So in a world today where first impressions are so important, and whether that be on a first date or whether that be in church or in a workplace during an interview, first impressions are super important, and you rarely get a second chance for a first impression. No one ever. Everyone says that you never get a second chance at a first impression. And so, for those of us who understand the importance of first impressions, when we read this passage, we're very curious as to why Jesus decided to change water into wine as his inaugural miracle to his ministry, right? So let me just give you some content here. So first it says that it was done in Cana of Galilee. Now, if you don't know where Cana is, it's okay. I didn't either. And probably everyone who reads the Bible doesn't know where it is. It's in the middle of nowhere. Okay. At church here, we always, Pastor Sam always likes to make fun of the Galileans who made up the majority of his disciples. And Galilee is in the middle of nowhere to Israel as Cana is to Galilee. Okay. So it's a very unimpressive place. Okay. There's no Sanhedrin council. There are no Pharisees. It's just in the middle of nowhere. And it's here that Jesus' ministry starts. And the second thing that's very curious is, why did he decide to turn water into wine? Why this, may I say, unglorious and unglamorous miracle? Okay, there is nothing remarkable about this miracle. I mean, well, I guess there is, right? I mean, like, everything... Like, if I was Jesus and I was entering into my ministry, I would have started off by maybe raising Lazarus from the dead or opening blind eyes so that, you know, everyone kind of understands who I am. And, you know, it's just a really good first impression, right? But we have to understand why he turned water into wine. And if you literally actually Google why did Jesus turn water into wine, like, the first five hits are just ridiculous. The first hit is, was the water that he turned into wine alcoholic? Like, who cares, right? But the point is that there's no real theological significance or any hidden kingdom, you know, meaning behind turning water into wine. So why does Jesus enter into his ministry and there's nothing that directs people to his supreme omnipotent power of Jesus Christ? And I want to suggest today is that he didn't. This is not how he wanted to enter his ministry. But his mother told him to. His mom made him do it. I mean, we sometimes kind of overread things. And, you know, Jesus was just as human as we were. And, you know, there are many of us who have done things in our lives that we necessarily didn't want to do. Or we are still doing things that we don't necessarily want to do because our mothers told us to do it. So in our passage today, Jesus finds himself and his mother and his disciples at a wedding. Now you need to understand that weddings back in antiquity Israel were not just a religious matrimonial ceremony that we have. It was a week-long party, right? And it was the bride's family's responsibility to actually make sure that every invited guest was well-fed and they were married, okay? So these were not like churchgoers and Bible quoters, okay? These were people who were getting sloshed, okay? And it was important for the bride's family to make sure that everyone was fed. And it was not just fed with vegetables. There had to be meat, right? It was a status thing. But then in our passage today, we find out that the seven-day-long party stops halfway and there is no more wine. The party stops, okay? The party stops. And this is a catastrophe that's about to happen, okay? Not only is there no more wine, but this is somewhat saying that this family had to save face now, okay? Like, this is a major problem. I know I'm kind of not really doing a good job in telling the narrative, but this is a major problem, right? There's major embarrassments to be had. There's no money to buy more wine, and everyone is just now in a pickle. So word gets to Mary, okay? So word gets to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and this is what happens. Mary finds Jesus and says, "Jesus, they have no more wine." Jesus looks back and says, "Woman, what has that got to do with me?" Mary says, turns around to her servants and says, "Just do whatever he tells you to do." We have sometimes a very hard time, like, trying to make sense of this part, right? It's one of those things where you're like, oh, man, that's so rude, right? Jesus, they have no more wine. Woman, what has that got to do with me? Just do whatever he tells you to do. The first thing, I just want to talk about mothers and what made Mary such an exceptional and a godly mother. Here's a mother who realizes that there's a problem on the scene, right? Like I said, the wine has run out. There's no more money. No one could afford it. The marriage is basically in jeopardy at this point. And in the middle of this catastrophe, she decides to go find Jesus. And she says, I know someone who I can talk to and who can solve this problem. See, she realizes that there's some things that money cannot buy. That there are some things that, there's some diseases that doctors cannot heal. And there are some things that a human hand and the most brilliant minds cannot solve. But what she does understand is that she knows somebody that she can talk to who she knows can fix the problem. The first point of a godly mother, I want to suggest, is a woman who knows how to pray. A mom who knows when to pray to Jesus. One of the best gifts that that I've had in my life, and many of us in this room, or those who are listening online had, is a praying mother. A mother who knows when to have a conversation with Jesus, and a mother who knows to bend her knees and to have a conversation with God when there is no way, when there are things that pose a problem that you cannot solve on your own. And I could testify that I am where I am in my life, and so can many of you, because you had a mother who prayed. You had a mother who refused to address a problem without consulting Jesus. So like someone like my grandma, right? Like, man, my mom, she prays, right? But my grandma is like the prayer warrior of my family, right? And she is just like, it almost gets to the point where you have to ask her why she prays so much, right? And it's just kind of like, Grandma, you pray way too much, man. You know, but I always like to joke that, you know, my grandma, her prayers are heard in heaven because she prays loud and she prays long, right? And she knows exactly when and how to pray. So I think if you just kind of go back to your own life and you remember that you had a mother who has prayed for you, here at Solomon's Porch, we often say, you know, the blessings that you're experiencing today is because someone has prayed the price before. And and all of our mothers have this instinctive heart to desire to pray for the next generation. So the first point is that mothers who pray or know when to pray. So here's Mary, and here's another point. She is dealing with a son who hasn't proven his power yet. He has not lived up to the God-given promise or possibility that she knows of. If you go back to the Christmas story, you would remember that angels proclaimed it, God confirmed it, the Holy Spirit confirmed it. There were people regionally who came to praise God when he was an infant. Why? Because, and Mary was there. So she knows the potential of Jesus. She knows the potential of her child. And here he is, 30 years old, hasn't done anything yet. Okay? There's a book out there, I forgot who wrote it, but it's like the first 30 years of Jesus' ministry where he did nothing. Right? Like, because we always think, oh, you know, Jesus started his ministry when he was 30, but 30 years old, didn't do anything yet, right? If there are any mothers or friends and sisters who who know that their child could be more than what they're going through right now, I think a godly mother has the instinctive ability to call up potential, to enable a child, to guide a child, and to encourage a child to lead a godly life. And especially for those mothers who may be kind of facing a little bit of frustrations, right? I always talk about my grandma once it comes to moms and praying, but like my grandma has seven kids, of which my mother is the first out of seven. And they have six girls in the family, six women in the family. And I have an uncle who is unmarried, unemployed, angry, you know. And my grandma, till this day, so he's like 55. He's almost hitting 60. My grandma is almost 90. And she will always say, oh, you know, one day when your uncle hits, you know, his fullest potential. It's been 50 years, right? Like, and all my life, I just known this uncle who, you know, obviously I'm very keen to, but, you know, my grandmother will always talk about his potential. And my mother, too, will always say, you know what you're doing right now is great, but I know you could do better than that, right? Mothers, godly mothers, are able to call out potential and call out and know that she will enable the child not based on their past performance, but based on what God says that he can do. What God says that your child can do. So forget the labels, forget the labels, forget the past, forget what he has not done or has done, right, that may not fulfill the potential that God has set him out to be. But if you're frustrated with that, godly mothers, just continue to pray. And I just want to encourage any moms here who are maybe be going through that. I know here at Solomon's Porch, we have so many new young moms. So it's not like, you know, kids who are like 2 years old and younger are you know, obviously they didn't really live up to their fullest potential. But, yeah, but maybe we can have a time to think about ourselves and think, you know, we have, maybe when, if we think that we're not living up to God's potential, you know, we could ask our mothers to pray for us because, man, their prayers are always heard. So she brings the situation to Jesus, believing and knowing that he can fix the problem. Okay? So Jesus, there is no more wine. And Jesus' response is, woman, what has that got to do with me? Now, I spent majority of last night trying to figure this out, okay? Because it just does not make sense, and it's always one of those things that always made no sense to me. And there are and now there are some studies who say, oh, okay, you know what? He's calling her woman because he's referring to her as the woman of his life, okay? But I just can't buy that because literally his next line is, what has this got to do with me? Okay, so I don't think that I could really face my mom and say, mom, you're the greatest woman in my life, but what you're saying doesn't have any weight in my life. Okay, so I can't really see that. I think I'm just going to read it directly how it is. I know some of you guys may not like it because you're so sanctified, but you know, I just want to suggest that, you know, he is, it's almost rude, right? It's almost rude. It's almost disrespectful. It's almost ungrateful. And notice how Mary, he ignores her request, so she kind of ignores him, right? Jesus, they have no more wine. Woman, what has that got to do with me? Okay, just do whatever he tells you to do, right? I think that there comes a moment in a journey of a mother and many of us who are around kids where we find out that they start talking back. So I teach the oldest class at Noah's Ark here at SP. And over the last 5 years, I've seen many of these kids grow up. And I love kids, right? But I also love 1:30 when parents come to pick them up, right? Because I don't need to deal with them anymore, right? And there are times when they start talking back, right? Now, can you imagine if your cute little baby starts talking back to you, right? And that's going to be throughout their lives. And for me, I just look back in my life and realize that I always knew how to hurt my mother. I knew what to say to hurt her. And, you know, I mean, that's stupid. I don't want to do that, right? And my mom will always drop the I'm your mom card, okay? I'm your mom card. Well, she says it in Korean, and it's not as feisty and fierce, right? But she'll say, 내가 네 애미니까, which means, I'm your mom. Now, we all know that once a mom says those three words, conversation's over, right? And what Jesus, and the great thing here is that Jesus yields, right? Mary, so there comes a time in a woman's life, or in a mother's life, when a child becomes disrespectful and they talk back, right? But what you gotta what godly mothers realize is that sometimes they just have to go beyond that, and they have to rise above their disrespect, rise above their ungratefulness, and just keep them on the course that God has set them out to be. So Mary kind of quips Jesus' response and just implicitly says, I don't care what you say, you're going to do it anyway. Why? Because I'm your mom. There's so many things that I did not want to do that I did because of my mom. A big part of that is coming out to church, right? I came out to church every day, day in and day, every Sunday. Actually, most days. Why? Because my mom, my dad, who's a pastor, he was like, oh, I think that he could rest. My mom woke me up. My mother was the one who said, you know what? At 4:30 in the morning, you're waking up and you're shoveling the driveway because you need to go to church, right? And it's one of those, you know, I'm not asking you, I'm more telling you kind of thing, right? The third point is that a godly mom always rises above disrespect and whatever situation is happening and whatever hurts to make sure that their child or those around them are on the right course. So Jesus says, this has nothing to do with me. And you'll see Mary forces him to recognize that you got to be concerned about things that is not about you. Your worldview has to be greater than your personal well-being, right? Now, I'm not saying that, okay, I'm not implying there that Jesus is this angsty teenager. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, you know, Mary, like, the way that the language reads, the script reads, it says, you know, the wedding stopping, not my problem. The wine running out, don't involve me in it. It's not my deal, right? But what Mary is doing here is she's having that perspective of encouraging her kids that they got to think more than beyond themselves, right? And so a godly mother would always broaden the perspective of her kids to be concerned about the well-being of other people. You got to recognize that what is a problem to others should be a concern to you, right? So you got to be concerned for your church. You got to be concerned for your friends. Got to be concerned for your neighbors. Got to be concerned for your city. Got to be concerned for your nation, right? And our moms at SP are awesome at this, right? I mean, you know, like, I don't want to give specific shout-outs, but, you know, we have kids. Elise and Emma, they serve in Noah's Ark, right? You know, Chloe and David, they go on mission trips, right? In my house church, Nir and Veer, they're excited for potential fostering, right? Like, Bernice's kids. I don't know if you guys know Bernice, man. This I was talking to Bernice all throughout the night last night, and she is the coolest mom, right? Her kids, they are involved in praying for the family salvation. You know what I mean? A godly mother, you could see the fruit of a godly mother by seeing how their kids react towards the well-being of other people. And this is what Mary does. She encourages Jesus that, you know what, the wine running out is going to be your problem, right? right? So a praying mother going above disrespect and encouraging them to go beyond themselves. A godly mother also does this. Mary turns to the servants and tells them to do what Jesus tells them to do, right? So now she's implicitly directing Jesus, but she's directly commanding the servants, okay? Now, I don't know if your mom's like that. My mom was like that, right? She not only got me to do what she needed me to do, but she also got my friends and everyone else to do what needed to be done, right? Again, you know, I always bring the shelving story, right? But my mom had this, like, when my dad asked other people to, like, shovel the snow, it, it came off as like, oh, how can you tell me to do this? You're a pastor. But when my mom did it, like, everyone was on board, right? Like, actually, one of the initiations, if you go to my parents' church right now, is that you have to serve. Newcomers, she's like, oh, welcome. Can you help us serve food? We're short on hands today, you know? But she just does it in such a way that's so loving that you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll love to help, right? So a godly mother can exert influence outside of her natural born child, right? Because what defines you as a mother is not that you've been in the delivery room, but that you have a concern for, let me put it this way. What defines you as a mother is not that you've been in a delivery room, right? Because you could be a mom and be childless, but you could be childless and be a mother, right? And the great thing about this heart of motherhood is that you recognize that you have received a gift from God to change circumstances around you and to influence people around you, right? You know, this specifically goes out to the not yet moms, right? The to-be moms or the single woman of this church who one day wish to be mothers. You don't need to actually particularly have a child for you to be a mom. You need just to recognize that God has given you a gift and that gift to influence people around you, right? The gift to influence the classroom, the gift to influence your church, the gift to influence your community and to influence your workplace, right? If you have that gift to be able to influence and change circumstances around you, then I believe that you have the gift of motherhood, that you have a spirit, that you have a heart of mothers. And this is so exceptional in this church. First of all, you have to extend some grace that obviously I'm not a mom, right? Like, I'm not a mom. I'm just a single dude who comes out to this church, right? So when I was preparing this, I really had a perplexed time whether I should share on mothers or not, because one of the sisters here, in the middle of my work day, I was like, hey, what do you think I should talk about? Do you think I should do this or this, right? Like, I was so perplexed all week whether I should talk about mothers, because I'm not a mom. I never experienced parenthood, right? I'm not even speaking from a husband or a father's perspective, right? I'm just speaking from a son's perspective. And yes, please do extend me some grace. I just really felt like, you know what? There are so many moms in this church who are actual moms, and there's so many women in this church who have this gift to change circumstances around them, to change and to influence those around us, right? And man, Solomon's Porch, we are so blessed with the incredible amount of women with this heart of motherhood, right? Like, and you know what? And I know this because my mom has this crazy instinct, right? Like, she will call me. And, like, she'll be like, yo, what are you doing, right? And, like, she'll call me and she'll be like, oh, how are things going? And you know what? A lot of moms here or a lot of sisters here at Solomon's Porch are like that, right? Like, I have like, house church leaders or I have friends in my house church, or I have sisters around me who, you know, will just know how to ask the right questions, right? They'll be like, hey, you know, how are you doing, you know? Like, what can I do for you? So if you had a sister who has prayed for you, if you had someone in this church who fed you, right? I get fed so well by her, by the woman here at SP, right? Then this weekend, you know, their sacrifice and their tears and their sweat goes beyond a brunch and a card, right? I'm gonna have to wrap up. Okay, so a godly mother prays, goes above disrespect, and knows how to influence or teach her kids to be influential, and also influence those people around them, right? So she goes and talks to Jesus, and this is what happens. That a godly mother, or anyone who's a mother figure, teaches those around them to pray. Not only are they the ones who are praying, but they teach them to pray. You know, a lot of the times we're so concerned about teaching our kids to add fractions, to kick a ball, or to go to school well. But I think that we are failing to equip them for life if we're not teaching them to pray. If we are not teaching them to say, Jesus, you're the first place that I need to go to when I need a problem solved. Right? And unless we are doing this, and this is not for just moms, this is for everyone, this is for the brothers and fathers and everyone, that for us to be a godly church, we need to teach our kids and the next generation to know how to pray. Because eventually, in everyone's lives, the storm's gonna come, the wine's gonna run out, then the music's gonna stop. Right? But at these times, you have to know that the first things that you always should do is to bend your knees, get in the church, and pray. Right? The second thing is, so you teach them to pray and you teach them to obey. Mary's command is go talk to Jesus and do whatever he tells you to do, right? If the Lord tells you to be patient, right? If the Lord tells you to wait, then wait. If he tells you to worship, then worship. If he tells you to tithe, then tithe. If he tells you to walk away, and if he tells you to stay, then stay. What we need to encourage the next generation with is that when God directs their heart, right? When God directs their heart, then it is obedience that allow us to do things what he has called us to do. There will be no miracle if Jesus did not yield to Mary, right? And you have to wonder, you know, how he would have opened his ministry. So teach them to pray, teach them to obey, teach them to trust. See, because when you go through the passage, you have to ask yourself this question. When does the water turn into wine? There's no verse that says Jesus prayed and the water became wine. Okay? Does it happen when they fill the jugs? Does it happen when it pours out? We don't know. But what we know is by the time it gets to the master's hand, it has become what it needed to be. Right? So if you trust God, then that is a direction and that's a power that you could have. It's that you may not know how he's going to do it, you may not know when he's going to do it, or you may not know what he's going to use to get it done. But you, if you trust God, you will know that by the end, that you would be what you need to be. And this is what we need to encourage our children and the next generation with. Because the master drank the wine, right? And he says, you know, I've been to a lot of parties, and every single party, they bring out the best wine first, and then they bring out the poor wine. But you brought the best wine last. So if you, you'll find that if you trust God, then what God brings you is better than what you've always had. And there's so much more, right? 6 jars. Scripture says 20 to 30 gallons each. Okay? So that is roughly 120 to 180 gallons of wine. Okay? For those non-Americans, right? I mean, like, us guys, we know what 1 gallon is because on the urinals it always says 1 gallon equals 3.8 liters. No? Okay. Okay, you guys clearly don't read. In metric form, this is roughly, I did the calculation, it's roughly 450 to 680 liters of wine. That is a lot of wine, okay? So not only do you get something that's better than what you had, but you get more than what you need. Because what you have to recognize is when you trust God, that you get better and you get more. Because we serve a God who exceedingly goes beyond, and he's a God of abundance, and he's a God that goes beyond. Amen? I just want to finish here. So you teach them to pray, you teach them to obey, and you teach them to trust. Lastly, you teach them to give thanks. The master who receives the wine has no idea where his blessings came from, right? And he says, oh, where did this wine come from? Let me go thank the bridegroom. But in scripture it says that those who followed Mary's instructions knew that it came from Jesus. the last thing that we need to do is not only to teach them to pray, to obey, to trust, but you also need to teach them how to give thanks, right? To acknowledge that we serve a God who is good and that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, right? So, happy Mother's Day to the moms of Solomon's Porch, whether you are, again, a seasoned mother, a new mother, a to-be mother, or a one-day wish-to-be mother. The last word in the King James Version or in the ESV, it says that this was the beginning of the many miracles that Jesus did, of great signs and wonders. So we start off as wondering why this was the first impression, but we learn that this is the beginning of great miracles to happen. So if you are a mother and you do all these things, then you're able to put your kids or those people around you in a position where they could witness great things, the first of many to come. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you have given us such great women in our lives who we could call moms, God. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the aunties, the moms, the sisters, the teachers, the bosses, and the Sunday school teachers, God, who have always prayed, who has always gone above disappointments, Lord, and those who are always encouraging us to be greater and to have greater perspectives, Lord. Father, Lord, there's no way that we could repay their debts. So, Father, Lord, would you just bless them this weekend, Lord, and help us to remind ourselves that that their sacrifice goes beyond just a brunch and a card, Lord, but help us to really honor them today, God. Father, Lord, I also just pray for all the sisters who are not mothers yet, God, we just pray, Lord, that you hear the prayers of their heart, God. And Father, Lord, we just thank you that you have given us such a great example through the scriptures of a mother who is godly, God. So, Father, Lord, teach us how to pray, teach us how to obey, teach us how to trust, and teach us how to give thanks to you. For you are the God Almighty who does great things, and a sovereign and omnipotent Father who blesses us every day. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So just before we get into our time of prayer, I just wanted to spend some time maybe praying for our own mothers, right? If you had a mother who did pray for you, I encourage you to thank the Lord and to pray for them. Now, if you did not have a mother who knows Jesus, then, hey, you know what? Start praying for them now, right? Start praying for them now that they'll get to know Jesus and that they'll become prayer warriors, right? If your mother is now with the Lord, right? And pray for them, right? And think about the good times and the memories that you've had with them. And especially, so let's just take a time to just pray for our moms a little bit, and then maybe we could go into our time of our Saturday agenda. So much, I've wanted your pure touch. Well, if you could pray and think about how can we be better sons and daughters to our mother, right? If there's reconciliation that needs to happen, then pray for that. If there's forgiveness that needs to happen, then pray for that. If you need to call, if you need to text, pray for that. But whatever it is, let's just really ask God to teach us how to honor not just our own moms, but our aunts, our grandmothers, and all those sisters and aunties around us who have breathed and who has, have just prayed for us all throughout our lives. I'm So let's go to our Saturday prayer list. let's pray for NK. You guys know that there's a lot of tensions going on right now, especially in that part of the world. So if we could just lift up, I'll pray for open doors for ministry. But let's also pray for other missional opportunities here in Asia, including the persecuted churches and in the Middle East. And if there's a particular region that you want to pray for, I know we pray for this every week, but let's just choose one today and really go after it, yeah? Let's also pray for our SP weekend gatherings, so prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SPIN services and activities, GIC, men's and women discipleship, single life workshop, Alpha, and all our meetings. Just so that you guys know, Alpha is meeting here today, and later on, single life workshop is starting their first session here, right? And the leaders who are initiating this, they really believe that this is a very need in the church, and we have a lot of sign-ups. So if you could just pray for the leaders, for wisdom, and just for everyone who's actually a part of it, to really experience just like how to do relationships well, right? That's our tagline. But let's really pray into that. This is our first session today from 4 to 7. And let's pray for SP 2.0, our new building, resources, and benefactor. This is one of those things that we always pray for, right? But listen, it's worth the prayer, right? So let's really pray into it and pray it like we mean it. And let's pray for house churches. Today, Fortress, Mawan, Southside, Tavistock, and Westside are meeting up. Again, you know, we've been talking about the persecuted Pastor Sam's sermon about persecution. Let's just pray that they have a really good time. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, once again for just how loving and how you have extended your mercies to us this morning, Lord. I just thank you, God, for this weekend. We just lift up all the SP activities. God, we lift up Single Life Workshop, who's having their first session today, God. And we also just pray for Alpha, Lord, that will be happening here today. Father, Lord, be with us for the remainder of the weekend. And again, help us to show our mothers how much we love them and appreciate them. Thank you for placing them in our lives. In your precious name, you pray. Amen. Enjoy your prayer time, guys.